The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we're coming to you. Big day. It's Monday. It's, it's not the 4th of July just yet, but we're almost there. It's that weekend, and it has been a great weekend so far for Kyle Stanley and a few other people that we're going to talk about. Some major champions were crowned yesterday, and so we'll get into that, what happened on the PGA Tour Champions, the LPGA Championship also holding a major, as well as talking more about the Quicken Loans National that was just competed. Maybe even look ahead to the next major right around the corner. We have the Greenbrier, and everybody will be heading over the big pond to Royal Birkdale for the Open Championship. We have Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf joining us in just a minute. Also, a little bit later in the show, Bob Bupka, our good friend with The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio, will be joining us as well. He, of course, as always, will be at Royal Birkdale, so it's always good to get some insight into a guy who's seen every venue over there in England, Scotland, Ireland for the Open Championship. So we'll talk to Bob coming up in just a little bit. Frank Bassett in our Nashville studios. Frank, how's everything going for you?
It's going good. I just have two words. The yes. Thumb. The thumb.
The thumb.
The thumb. We'll talk about that. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Remember those two words.
Two words. The thumb.
There we go.
It was great. Great weekend.
Right.
Great weekend of golf, though. I mean, but everything was powerful. Yeah. I was flipping. I had three TVs going, flipping around. It was just nuts. I mean, so.
Yeah, it was a lot of golf.
A lot of golf.
A lot of very, very good golf, like I said, that we'll be talking about. Kenny Perry, a very happy man today. And
yes.
A big paycheck. Normally, the guys on the PGA Tour get paid pretty well. The women, not so well. The PGA Tour champions, also not so well. But when it's a major, the bucks get doubled up, and some big, big paychecks are being spread around on all three tours. So we'll talk about that. We do have Steve Johnson joining us. Steve, of course, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf. Steve, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, guys.
Glad to hear it. My first question to you is got to be about your former student. And he had a great, great tournament. We're talking about Sung Kang at the Quicken Loans National. And had a little bit of trouble. Shot a final round 70. Finished at 4-under. So he was 3 shots out of the championship. 3 shots out of the playoff between Kyle Stanley and Charles Howell that Kyle Stanley won on the first playoff hole. But a lot of drama. Rain came out of nowhere. And Sung Kang, one of the few guys without any rain gear, any umbrella, or anything else. A decision that they apparently made before he and his caddy started the round, because there was no prediction of any rain. But he certainly looked very upset when he missed a late putt, and not maybe only because he was putting into a pouring rain and had to turn his cap backwards so the drips wouldn't come off the bill. You know Sung very, very well. He looked a little mad. Was he a little hot under the collar there, Steve?
When you say a little mad, I think that's an understatement. He could not get over it, Tim. Sung is a type of player, when something bothers him, he has a hard time turning it off. And we saw that. Now, come on. How much does an umbrella weigh, anyway?
2.3 pounds.
I mean, does an umbrella weigh 1 pound? 2 pounds?
2 pounds. 2 pounds.
2 pounds.
I mean,
okay,
let's say it's 2 pounds. And so I'm trying to figure out, we don't live in a vacuum.
Right.
He has a chance to win a tournament. They're looking at the last round. They're coming up. They're second, third to last group. He really wants to win on the PGA Tour. He's had a lot of close calls. Had a close call this year at the Shell Houston Open. Lost the biggest lead, 36-hole lead, of anyone on the PGA Tour this year. He had a 7-shot lead after 36 holes. Looked like he was going to run away with the thing. He couldn't get the deal done. And they're getting ready for the event. They're getting ready for the final round. And the caddy says, hey, you know, it doesn't look like rain. What do you think? Okay, go ahead and take the rain suit out for sure. Take the umbrella out, too, because we won't need that. You know, it's not going to rain. I mean, we're not playing outside. I mean, there's no way that it's going to rain. Well, it's Washington, D.C. in the summer, boys. These thunderstorms can come out of anywhere. And even if it's not raining, maybe it gets super, super hot. And you've seen a lot of the LPGA players get under an umbrella just to cool themselves a little bit.
I mean, some shade, sure.
It is unbelievable that they didn't bring an umbrella, and that was the thing that he could not get over. And Gary McCord and Ian Baker Finch were talking about it. Shorty is his caddy. Isn't that an appropriate name? You got Sung Kang, who's about 5'3", and his caddy is Shorty. They're about the same height. He's a really good guy, but what a critical mistake he makes. For an experienced caddy like him, not to be fully 100% prepared for anything that could happen in that final round. We're not talking about Thursday. We're talking about Sunday afternoon with a chance to win. He has a 5-foot putt. It's a great shot up there on a par four, and has a chance to make birdie to get the lead. And it's just raining so dang hard. I mean, it was a wet T-shirt contest out there, Tim.
So do you put all the blame on the caddy?
I tell you what.
You put all the blame on the caddy?
He was not the only player. Not to have an umbrella.
No. He was not.
It just absolutely floors me that these guys are not prepared.
Well, but doesn't Sung have to take some blame? Doesn't he have the bottom line responsibility
absolutely.
Of what goes in his bag?
Absolutely. Yeah. But you know what? Sung's the type of person that likes to assign blame. He likes to assign blame to people. And even though he signed off on it, what difference does it make to Sung Kang if his caddy's carrying more weight?
Yeah.
It means absolutely nothing. So
he looked
favored his caddy because his caddy asked him, hey, do you think we're going to need the umbrella today? I mean, Sung Kang, if he thought it could help him, he would load that bag up with a bunch of stuff. But I'm not kidding you. It's just like any PGA Tour player. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's part of being a champion. You're in charge of your own destiny. Hey, it is all about the player. It's not about, hey, you know what? Without that umbrella in the bag, it's not going to dig into your shoulder as much, Shorty. I just want to save your shoulder. So let's save it for the playoffs. Let's take that umbrella out.
So do you should, let me
doesn't
ask you,
make
do
any
you,
sense.
Do you really think that the rain and the effects of the rain without umbrella, rain gear, cost Sung a decent chance at that championship? And do you think Shorty will survive? Is it that much of a carryover that Sung might fire?
They've had a good run together. He's been with him since the Quicken Loans last year. Actually, he's been with him since after the Canadian Open. He had another caddy, Rick Romano, was with him through the Canadian Open, and Ricky moved on. Shorty's been with him a while. You know, Sung is not a person that sticks with caddies for any length of time. I think he gets his model from KJ Choi. KJ Choi has a whole arsenal of caddies that he uses. Yeah. I mean, they don't really. It's not like some relationships where you find your caddy and they, you have years. It's not the Bones and Phil Mickelson relationship for sure. But you know, I don't know if he's going to survive. He may. He made, but this is something that Sung is not going to be able to get over for a while. You know, so he has that putt. That's a putt that he makes 98% of those putts, but just a little bit outside of 4.5 feet. And then he goes up to the 17th hole, and he misses it in the worst spot you could miss it in. He hits it in the water. He would not have hit that shot. If he would have made birdie and got the lead, he would have been in a totally different mindset. He would have had a different strategy. Instead of trying to draw the ball in there, he probably would have cut it in there, kept it on dry land, and he would have at least been in the playoff. I can't say that he would have won it outright, but he would have at least been in the playoff. He would have felt good about his performance, that someone beat him rather than him just losing the event.
We're talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, and this just occurred to me because we were talking about all the different championships, and, of course, Danielle Kang, won for the women, the KPMG Women's PGA Championship in Illinois yesterday. Same last name. That's a common name in that part of the world, though. I'm assuming they're not related, Sung Kang and Daniel
Kang? No relation. No relation. You know, it's just like Kim. And I mean, they're very popular names. I haven't heard many Kangs, but we do see some on the LPGA and the PGA. So
back to the Quicken
Loans
National.
No relation with him.
Okay, back to the Quicken Loans. Kyle Stanley, big comeback for him. Hasn't won in a few years, only a second win on the tour. Charles Howell also coming back from being off for quite a while as well. So a lot of drama. And Kyle Stanley, very emotional after he won. He knows how hard it is to win on the PGA Tour. He knows how hard it is to come back after you win once and then years go by to come back and win another one. So very clutch for Kyle Stanley. All that pressure you get to the tee box on a playoff hole between him and Howell, both of them desperately wanting to get back and win a championship on the PGA Tour. So pretty impressive what Kyle Stanley did, not only for the regular 18 holes, but that extra playoff hole, played a very solid hole.
Yeah, and the playoff hole was good. I mean, he was in position, hit a good second shot. The only thing is, you know, this is what they talk about, how hard it is to win on the tour. Your emotions and your focus get so diluted when you've got the energy of the opportunity to win. Well, now, on the 14th hole, it's the easiest hole on the golf course. They had the most eagles of any hole this year on the PGA Tour, hole number 14. He knocks it in the water. He makes a great putt for par, a saving par, but, you know, looking at it from the outside, it appears, you know, like these guys, what are these guys doing there? What are they trying to lose this tournament? No, well, they're not trying to lose it, but their game plan and their focus and their awareness of where that club face is gets going so fast for them. They've got to try to slow down their thinking. They've got to try to slow down their execution so they can control that club. And that's what happens, you know. When you're in a position, he would have never hit that shot if he was in 25th place.
Yeah,
and that's what's amazing about the psychology of winning. That's why Tiger said, hey, there's a reason these guys haven't won major events. You know, the guys that you would think, I mean, like a guy like Paul Casey, who has been on the tour for many years, a top player, and there's a reason he doesn't win. And it's not typically because of their technique. And I know Sung doesn't feel comfortable out there. We were talking about Kyle Stanley, but Sung doesn't feel comfortable out there yet. I mean, you can tell. I've known him since he was 15. I can tell his mannerisms that he feels like a foreigner. And, well, he is a foreigner, but I mean, my point is, he does not feel comfortable with himself being in that setting yet. And if he keeps knocking at the door like Kyle Stanley did, Kyle Stanley hadn't won in 5 years.
Right.
If they keep knocking at the door, they finally punch through that door. And unfortunately, there's a lot of guys that get there close and don't take advantage of the opportunities. In fact, Ian Baker Finch said, Tim, you know, he says, man, he's going to look – well, actually, it was Gary McCord. He said, you know what? He may look back on his career and think, wow, this is my opportunity to win, and I had no umbrella. And it affected my ability to prepare for the shot. And that's where quick thinking comes into to play too, Tim. You can borrow an umbrella from somebody in the gallery. You can borrow an umbrella from a marshal, which they ended up doing.
I didn't know that. But is that right?
They were choking. Shorty was choking so bad that he just stood there, and he was dumbfounded.
Yeah.
He may have been praying for the rain to stop. I don't know. There was no action behind his concern. And that's what separates the guys that are the great caddies and the great players from the guys that could be great.
I thought he was in shock. I mean, Shorty was just, you're right. He looked like he was in shock. Like, wait a minute, what are you doing? He didn't jump in and just slow him down or anything. So, like Michael Greller did for Spieth last week.
If it was a nice, a nice little rain, like a little springtime rain, it wouldn't have been. This was a downpour that was going
brutal.
Sideways. I mean, suddenly now, it's going into your eyes. It was a big difference, and maybe that's a phrase now. Then the rain came. You know, suddenly that's how you lose a golf tournament. And you're right, Steve. You're going to kick yourself that you might have lost a golf tournament over 2 pounds in the caddy's bag that he just chose not to put in the bag. Who knows what would have happened.
He was trying to switch to the Beatles channel to listen to Here Comes the Sun.
I know. It was
very unfortunate that he had to play that shot right then.
Yeah,
I mean, I was thinking, I was watching on TV, I was thinking, okay, what would I do? I would say, hey, man, you know, I need to get an official over here. I need to get an official over here. You know, there's too much water in my line. I need to have an official take a look. Do whatever you can do to stall.
Yeah.
To see if you can get some relief.
Because
the referee gives the guy at the free throw line the ball, and he's nervous, and the fans behind the basket are moving and all that. And the guys that are heady, the guys that have you know, some thought process, then they say to the ref, hey, ref, there's something on this ball here. There's something on, and yeah. give the ball back to the ref and start over. There's ways that you can reset your focus rather than getting so lost in the moment, getting so lost in the, down a bad path. But there was, you know, it was like watching it. It was like watching a car wreck in slow motion. You know, what could you do to avoid it? And, man, they did nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even know that you could borrow somebody else's umbrella. That's a good idea that maybe the caddy didn't even realize that he could have just walked 20 feet and anybody would have given him their umbrella, I would imagine. You could have found one, pulled $20 out of your bag or something and say, here, I need an umbrella.
20?
I am curious too, Steve. Well, something.
When's the last time you bought an umbrella? Well, we haven't.
I got 1,000 of them.
I do too.
I'd give them, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, 100. Steve, I'm curious too about Ricky Fowler. Played well in this tournament, shot a 65 in his final round and finished two back, but was right there, could have maybe had a chance at it. But going into this tournament and looking at the field, and nothing against any of the Cal Stanleys and Charles Howells and Martin Lairds and Mark Leishmans and Spencer Levin, you're looking at these names, and they're not the top 10 golfers in the world. Was that a missed opportunity for Ricky to win a title? He was easily the highest ranked and probably the best player, playing very well too going into this tournament. And didn't capitalize on it. Got close, but didn't capitalize. Was it a missed opportunity, you think, for Ricky?
Absolutely. He made a good run early at that last round, Tim. And, you know, again, hole number 14. He's 5 under par. He has a hole that he can drive. Easiest hole on the golf course. Most eagles made on that hole of any hole on the PGA Tour this year. And he makes double bogey.
Yeah.
He makes a valiant run after that, but that you just can't overcome a double bogey on the easiest hole. He's given up 2.5 shots to the field on that hole, making double bogey. That is just a critical mistake. There's another example of why hasn't Ricky Fowler won more? You know, there's something that, like Tiger Woods says, there's something, there is a reason. And it doesn't really have to do with his ball striking. Doesn't have to do with his putting. It has to do with his ability to block out the noise, to block out the situation, to block out the nerves, to get the job done. And that's what I like about a lot of the Eastern cultures is that their ability to do that seems to be a lot more conducive to finishing a deal. When you're in the running for a deal, like we look at Siwoo Kim, who's had an absolutely awful year this year, and he's ranked 31 in the world right now, winning the Players' Championship when he had been playing terrible this year. But he had an opportunity to win, and he just got the deal done. Hideki Matsuyama, same thing. Guys that are in a position to finish, there's something special about them that they do finish.
Well, it leads us, and my final question for you is, Royal Birkdale right around the corner. Sometimes the guys are playing well, and you have a good idea who's looking good going into that. Other times, they kind of come out of nowhere. And looking at the U.S. Open, we all would have thought that maybe Rory had a really good, maybe Dustin Johnson had a, they didn't even make it to the weekend. It's hard to predict, isn't it, when you're looking at a major, who's going to be able to stand up to it, who's not, what the weather's going to be like. Do you think, though, that this year, if you just had to make a quick off-the-hip prediction, we're going to see one of the top 10 guys just doing what we think one of those guys is going to do? Or do you like somebody else who's back in the field, a guy that we – I'm not saying necessarily Kyle Stanley, but he did get in because he won. And by the way, Sung Kang also qualified, did he not, for the Open, for his finish?
Yes, he did. So he did qualify, yes. He's never played in the Open Championship before, so he's looking forward to that.
Yeah. What do you think?
You know, I mean, out of the top 10 in the world, Dustin Johnson, Hideki Matsuyama, Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Sergio Garcia, Jason Day, Henrik Stenson, Alex Noren, Ricky Fowler, Brooks Koepka, I don't think any of those guys are going to win this tournament.
Is that right?
I think it's going to be a top player, but I don't think it's going to be anybody in the top 10 this week on the, you know, well, we still do have a couple weeks before the Open Championship.
Yeah, so what about Fleetwood?
Playing well.
What about Fleetwood?
Yeah, he just won.
You know what? He won. He won yesterday. I mean, he's a good player. He didn't do too well when he was over here. He couldn't get the deal done. He was right there in the U.S.
Mexico.
Open. And,
Mexico, he played
but you know
well,
what?
A few months.
But that's a home
that
game for him.
Does get it done on certain levels. And when you can get it done on any level, you've got the ability to get it done on the highest level.
Yeah, that's a home game for him. And he is playing well.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, the past couple of tournaments he's played in, he's done well.
Three weeks is a long time, though, Frank.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'd kind of like to see him, though. You know, he looks like he just walked straight out of Game of Thrones. So I would just love to see him pull that off. I think that would be great.
How about I'll chip in. Let's all chip in, and we'll get Curtis Luck, and we'll get Tommy Fleetwood a haircut.
No, man. I think it ruined Ricky Fowler when he cut his hair. And Charlie
Hercules.
Kaufman. I like that.
Hercules.
Well, let's call Kevin Sorbo and see what happened.
You've got to read your Bible.
I love Hercules.
We got to get Kevin on Steve and Hank's show on SiriusXM. Sorbo's a hell of a golfer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Kevin who?
Kevin Sorbo. He played Hercules. Don't you remember that on TV?
He's an actor. Yeah.
Actor? Great golfer, a friend.
There goes Frank again.
He's a buddy. He comes to Nashville and plays golf with me. Come
I thought
on.
We were talking golf, Frank.
We're talking
now you're
golf.
Talking TV shows. You
were talking haircuts.
Okay.
Come on. Speaking of which, I need to go get a haircut today, so I can.
Oh, by the way, did you notice what a nice head of hair Tim has?
Tim?
Oh,
why
that wispy red hair of Tim's?
Yeah. Blonde.
I've never been called a redhead in my life, by the way. I do not have red hair.
It must have been the lighting, Precious.
It must have been.
God asked Tim, do you want to be a professional golfer or would you like a good head of hair? And Tim chose a good head of hair.
I'll say with hair. All those golfers, I don't know what it is. My grandmother thought it was wearing hats because you can't wear hats. You wear too many hats and you lose your hair. That was her theory.
We went off the rails big time. That's good.
I know. Hey, you guys, you got to listen to Hank Haney Golf Radio. The fireworks are about to begin. I know it's July 3rd. We got to wait till tomorrow to see the real fireworks. But we will hear fireworks today on Hank Haney Golf Radio.
We will definitely tune in today. I'll have it on delay. So we will definitely tune in after we finish this thing.
Perfect.
SiriusXM,
hey guys,
Hank Haney Golf Radio.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey,
all right,
enjoyed it. Always.
Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks.
All right, take care. That's Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf.
Off the rails.
We got into hair. All of a sudden, Tim's got
totally off the rails.
Why?
Huh?
What the heck is that?
Yeah, I do think Fleetwood's 25-1 right now, and I'm going to go place a dollar on that, you know.
That might not be bad.
Hey,
he's playing well. And Steve's point is it's a few weeks away. But
he's right.
You still have those good vibes can certainly last a couple of weeks. I understand they won't last forever, but he's got to feel pretty good about himself and the way he played the tournament and won in Europe. So and he's gotten a name here. I mean, let's be honest. Most of us didn't know Tommy Fleetwood.
Until the Fleetwood smack. There you go.
Until
that
Mexico
missed half
City,
out.
Right? The WGC.
Yeah.
Mexico City is about it. So up until then it was... who's that guy? But now he's kind of come in. And that's what I love about the majors is because that's how you establish that you're either you deserve to be a top 5-10 player or you tell the rest of the world that I've arrived and I'm coming out of the back, as Steve suggests, maybe somebody who's ranked 40th in the world or 25th in the world comes out of nowhere. I like that. I like the drama because you can't tell who's going to do it.
No, you can't. But I want to go back to yesterday, and we talked about the thumb. We'll probably get into this a little with Bob Bupka, too. And you know what I'm talking about is Bernhard Langer's accusation now from viewers of anchoring because the thumb was touching the shirt. Now, that's just that rule. I think the USGA needs to re-look at this rule because it just is too distracting to what we need to do, which is play golf.
Well, because by the rule, if I'm not mistaken, the shirt isn't your body.
No.
Therefore, you're not going to get called if something touches your shirt. Now, it's a matter of how tight is your shirt. Is it right there on your body? And it's not. So you're right.
It
just opens itself up without a defined rule that eliminates that and say, just let them use the longer putt. Let them anchor, whatever it might be. When you're saying this now, it's like, are you kidding me? I was talking about the rules, which are fascinating sometimes, about which ones should change, which ones won't. And I told you without dropping a name, but I was playing with Harrison Frazier a few weeks ago. He said we were talking about
you name dropper.
There you go. putting the ball down now, they're saying they're going to adjust it where you basically place the ball, right? Instead of the drop from your shoulder height. And you remember, Frank, it used to be in front of you.
Yes.
Then they let you go to the side as if that was a major overhaul of the rules.
Well, it used to be over your back, if you recall. Over your back. Like, now in front. Now to the side. Now we're going to place it. Next thing, we'll tee it up. Just re-tee it.
And now, and now it's like an inch high off the ground. Well, anyway, so he said that that he got called one time, Harrison Frazier, because a rules guy said his ball, when he dropped it shoulder height, was a couple inches below shoulder height. He made him redrop it. He looked at him like, are you kidding
me? Well, that's,
he goes, no.
Typical.
And you're like, but that's like, okay, what is shoulder height? Well, right here. No, and if you're going to let the players determine and make their own calls on themselves and police themselves, don't sit there and call a guy because he made a drop from 4.5 feet instead of 4 feet, 11 inches, you know? I mean, so you're right. And we'll see what happens with the anchored putter because it does get a lot of people going, oh, is he hitting? Is he touching his chest? Is he? And I'm like, whatever. Let him putt.
Okay. So the takeaway from this first segment is I think Shorty gets fired.
And Tim has good hair.
And Tim has good hair.
That's the two things I took away.
And Steve Johnson. Maybe Kang needs to call Steve and get back with him after that. Or at least with Dr. Bob Winters or Dr. Giovigliente or
Steve knows,
somebody.
Believe me, he knows that Sung would have definitely gotten into everybody. Not only the caddy, he probably would have gotten angry with Steve. Not because Steve would have caused it or anybody else, but he knows what he's talking about. Just, he says, some guys just deflect. Some guys say, hey, my bad. Other guys are like, who else out here caused me to do that? Who else? One of you did that.
On the driving range at 10 Cup. Who hit that ball? Yeah. Hey, we're professionals out here. Who hit that ball?
Steve would have taken the wrath. You know he would have for some of that. So.
Yeah, that's true.
You want to get a Bob Bupka? Is he around?
Well,
he
Bob is he's on the headset. No, he's on the headset right now, but we probably ought to take a break and come back in with Bob. Yeah.
We'll get Bob all set and hooked up, ready to go.
Yeah.
All right. We'll do that. We appreciate everybody sticking around. When we come back, Bob Bupka, the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio, will be joining us. In the meantime, you're listening to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio, and we will be back right after this. And welcome back to Golf Talk America here on PGA Tour Radio. Tim Matthews with you in the Dallas studios. Frank Bassett joined us from the Nashville studios.
We're talking
to Steve Johnson and all the great things that happen on the PGA Tour.
Hey, you going to get some tires? Never mind.
Ed McMahon.
Hey, yo.
Yeah, that's a whole other story. Also, congratulations to Danielle Kang for winning the KPMG Women's PGA Championship at Olympia Fields in Illinois over defending champion Brooke Henderson. Brooke Henderson came very close to back-to-back Women's PGA Champion titles, and it would have been pretty impressive. And the U.S. Senior Open in Peabody, Massachusetts at the Salem Country Club, won by Kenny Perry. 16-under, wins it by 2 shots over Kirk Griffin.
Yep.
And Kenny Perry, Frank, you see the paycheck for this? $720,000 for Kenny Perry. That's a nice little PGA Tour champion's paycheck, isn't it? Normally they're in the 250, 290 range.
Pretty much. That's a big number. And he won it with, you know what, the vertical groove driver. Yep.
Are you kidding?
You have one. I have one. And the man that's on the line with us right now is brought to us by Vertical Groove Driver, vertgolf.com, Mr. Bob Bupka. Hey, Bob.
Hey, guys, I got to admit, I'm awfully excited. You know, it's one thing to win a golf tournament using a piece of equipment. Any manufacturer gets excited. Kenny Perry is not being compensated one single dime to play that vertical groove driver. And went out of his way in the press conference to say the advantage to him is he always fights this cook. And since using the vertical groove driver, if it starts hooking, it somehow it minimizes the amount of hook, and he keeps him in the fairway, and he goes on to victory.
Wow.
Pretty impressive stuff. His second U.S. Open victory, and believe it or not, second win for vertical groove golf that just came on the scene at the start of this season. John Daly wins earlier. Now Kenny Perry wins. So quite a weekend. Quite a weekend in golf for sure.
Well, so, Kenny's a favorite son of this area, as you well know. He's just right up the road in Franklin. And it's really funny, Bob, the local news stations here. We had the Web.com event here this week, the Nashville Golf Open. And all they talked about, it was so funny, was our favorite son, Kenny Perry. They never talk about Kenny Perry on the air in Nashville. They just never do it. But boy, he's now been adopted by the Nashville news stations. It's unbelievable.
Because he wins.
And they overshadowed the web.com thing. So
yeah.
I'll share with you guys when the Ryder Cup was held at Valhalla, we were driving back and we saw the sign in Franklin, Kentucky there for Kenny Perry's golf course. So I said to my partner Janice, I said, let's pull in, just take a look and see what it's like. And we pulled in the parking lot and I said, should we go in the pro shop? Maybe Kenny's in there. This is only a day after the Ryder Cup. And she said, well, he wouldn't be in there. And then all of a sudden we see this pickup truck pull into the parking lot. In the back, in the bed of the pickup truck, is the Ryder Cup bag that Kenny Perry used. Who gets out of the truck? Kenny Perry. He's taking the bag out to put it on display in his clubhouse. We pull up. I say, hey, Kenny. He said, golly, what the hell are you guys doing here? I mean, he was amazed. But the point of this story is, what a down-to-earth guy. I mean,
yeah.
Huge Ryder Cup, and there he is going to his golf course with his Ryder Cup bag, just so the people that play there, public course, and he keeps the rates very low. He deserves a lot of credit, you know, for allowing people in that area an opportunity to play on a quality golf course.
You know, another thing that he's done in that same vein of how good a person he is when he first went out on tour, Bob, and I know you probably know this story, he was fronted some money because he didn't have enough money to go do it. And the payback was, okay, if you ever make it, just give money back to Lipscomb University. Well, he made it, and he has every year since then given tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars to Lipscomb University, funding scholarships for students here in Nashville. So he's just a great guy, and just, you're right, so down to earth. He's just fabulous.
Well, if I were ever to find a guy that had a bad thing to say about Kenny Perry, it would be the first guy that I've ever found, because I have never, ever heard anybody say anything negative. It was a very popular win on the Champions Tour. He's just down to earth, good guy. And the funny part of yesterday was that he's paired with Kurt Triplett in a head-to-head battle. On Triplett's bag is a caddy by the name of Fred Sanders, who caddied for Kenny Perry for years and years and years. And then Kenny Perry, Russ Cochran, a fellow Kentuckian, has a son. And Russ says to Kenny, you know, my son's looking to get into caddying. And Kenny says, well, Fred and I have just reached the end of the road. He's going to go in a different direction. I need a caddy. This was the second week on the bag for Kenny Perry. And Matt, for those watching it close on TV, as they were walking off the 18th green, Kenny says to his caddy, well, it didn't take you long to break into the winner's circle.
It was a feel-good story, I'll tell you, watching it. And I text to Kenny, just, boy, I'm just so happy that you won this thing. So excited. Can't wait to see you soon. And we got to get up to Franklin. Tim, you got to get over here, and we'll go up and play his course. And
love to.
Kenny and I'll play you and whomever you want to pick that's up there local.
Yeah. We could swing by Seymour. Aren't they in Franklin as well?
No, Franklin, Kentucky. Franklin, Tennessee, Kentucky. Is Seymour Putter Company, and Franklin, Kentucky. Franklin, Kentucky, from my home here in Nashville, is probably 30 minutes max. That's it.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's just right up the road.
Wow. Hatfield and McCoy's right down the border.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, we're talking with Bob Bupka, the Grill Room, on TuneIn Radio. It made me think, we're talking about Kenny Perry, and why wouldn't we? He's playing so well. But here's a thought that I was wondering about. As far as the Golf Hall of Fame, there are certain, I guess, stipulations that they have for what they're looking for to put somebody in the Hall of Fame. Has anybody ever, would they ever put somebody in the Hall of Fame who doesn't make it on the PGA Tour, but like a Bernhard Langer, and he had certainly a good run in the.
Yeah.
If Kenny Perry continues or somebody else wins a bunch of senior majors, do you think they would be eligible for the Hall of Fame, or is it not going to count if you don't do it on the PGA Tour?
you know, that's a great question, Tim. And I don't know if anybody, any individual has that answer. I know that with Kenny Perry's victory yesterday, he becomes only the sixth player in history to win multiple Senior Open championships. So he may not be in that front door right now, but he may be knocking on that front door. And when all's said and done, I mean, he won 12 times on the PGA Tour. Now he's won two U.S. Senior Opens. One benefit for him, which is great for me, he gets to play at Shinnecock next year in the United States Open, which is only a couple of miles from where I'm coming to you guys from, and where I'll be this Wednesday. I have some meetings scheduled up at Shinnecock in preparation for next year's U.S. Open that's coming out here, which, by the way, will be the fourth U.S. Open that I've covered at Shinnecock. So, and all that means is I'm getting old, guys.
No.
It means since Bob has some meetings over there, Tim, don't you think we need to get on the Golf Talk America corporate G5 and go corporate. Play Shinnecock with Bob?
Yeah, the corporate VW bus minivan.
Yeah, I'll take his executive producer Janice Self on my team, and you can have Bob, and we'll play you guys. How's that?
Is that right? You're always looking to make a game, aren't you? No,
Janice, hey, Bob, is good. You better watch it.
I'm curious. You're talking about people didn't know that, and I didn't do a good job of explaining that you're coming to us from the Hamptons. This is the 4th of July weekend, so I guess it's a little R&R for you. What are you doing in the Hamptons? You enjoying it there? It'd be a good place to be, I guess,
well,
this weekend.
My family lives out here, Tim, and spent time with my son yesterday, going to spend time with my daughter, staying at my brother's house. Quite frankly, it doesn't get any better than that. And originally, I'm from this little town on the east end of Long Island called Sag Harbor, which when I grew up, there were 14 kids in my senior class, which allowed me, no matter where I traveled in the world, to always say I finished in the top 20 in my class. But now it has been discovered, and some of the biggest yachts in the world are all being parked down there. The motel rate, a normal run-of-the-mill motel that my friend owns, he has 32 units. This past Friday night and Saturday night, room rate was $1,200 a room, and he was completely sold out. There were people begging him to give them a room, and he just couldn't do it.
I just want you to say hi to Jennifer Aniston for me if you run into her in the Hamptons.
Well, you run into everybody.
You do.
They're all out here, believe me.
Hey, Bob, you know what I think? Next year, your buddy should keep one room empty, knowing that they're going to be knocking on his door, and then do like an auction. I got one room. Who's got $2,000?
Do an online auction. And I'll bet how cool would that be?
Crazy amount of money for that one or two rooms he leaves open if he's already getting 12. I know it's hard not to take the money 3 weeks before, but I'll bet you he could get a fortune. There's an idea for you, Bob. I'm just saying, pass it on. Might be another.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Tim. I'm going to swing by and say to him, I'm having some friends come into town next June.
Save a room.
I'd like every room you have. What will you charge me? Maybe I can get a deal.
Yeah.
And then we'll all auction them off on this program.
We'll sublease them when we get there. We'll make a killing. I love this.
Airbnb. Hey, Bob, I know you watched all of Kenny's win, but what's your read on the KPMG? My goodness. Brooke Henderson almost did it again.
Yeah, I mean, incredible performance, a great event. I had a little fun with Pete Pavakwa. He played in the Pro-Am on Wednesday, and he played with three premier people. And I sent him a little note. I said, boy, oh, boy, you are some lucky at these draw parties to see which people you're going to play with. And he got a kick out of that. It always reminded me of a tournament we did in Florida, and Arnie was played in it for about 5 years in a row, and every year the tournament director ended up in the Pro-Am with Arnie, and I said to him, I said, how do you get so lucky in these pro-am parties that you always get Arnold Palmer's name to come out of the hat. He said, when I go to pick, it's the only name in the hat.
I was going to say, yeah.
That's kind of like the pro-ams at 25 under that win, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say it's fixed? Yeah.
Hey, Bob, again, we're talking with Bob Bupka of the Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. And let's switch over. We talked a lot about Kenny. How about the guys on the PGA Tour? And a big win for Kyle Stanley at the Quicken Loans National. Been 5 years since Kyle had been in the winner's circle. Very emotional for him, not only right afterwards when Dottie Pepper was talking to him on the air, but we went in the media center and collected himself a little bit, but he got emotional there as well. It shows you that not only the stress these guys are under, but also the amazing accomplishment they feel when they think maybe I've lost it, and then they realize, okay, I haven't lost it. I've come back and I've won a tournament. It's heartwarming to kind of see that, and you don't see that in a lot of other sports where the money's guaranteed and all that, where the guys in golf have to earn it and have to sometimes go back down to the web.com to get back to the PGA Tour and even back to a winner's circle possibly. But very, very emotional, very nice win there for Kyle Stanley in Potomac, Maryland, wasn't it?
Well, Tim, very well said. And for the listeners of Golf Talk America, I'd just like to say, you know, people I don't think realize how difficult and how big an accomplishment it is to get to tee it up, just tee it up in a PGA Tour event. And then what an accomplishment it is to make the cut in a PGA Tour event. And then when you go to the next level and win on the PGA Tour, I mean, it literally changes your life forever because you're always known as a former winner on the PGA Tour. My heart went out to Charles Howell III, who grew up in Augusta, Georgia, and has been dying to get back to the Masters. And yesterday he's in that playoff. He fully realizes that if he gets lucky here or hits some spectacular shot, that he'd be back in Augusta next year. It just wasn't meant to be. But Charles Howell III, typical of so many of the guys that play on the PGA Tour, just a real good guy.
Yeah, he certainly is. And a lot of those guys that are playing are all trying to do just what Kyle Stanley did. And you're right. One of the plums, not only the exemptions, the paycheck, a lot of other things go with it, but getting to play at the Masters for a lot of these guys is not an automatic. And that's the way they get into it. They also get an invite to the Open Championship, which you will be at, I'm assuming. Did we talk about this last time? You'll be at Royal Birkdale coming up in a few weeks?
Yeah, actually, prior to Birkdale, that's why I'm out here on the East End. I'll fly out of New York City directly into Manchester. I'm going to be staying in Liverpool. I know Frank would love to be with me because I'm only going to be a stone's throw from the Beatles Museum, which really something, you know, it's something for me. Frank being a musician, you know, musicians that come there, I mean, it's like Holy Grail to be in and around anything that the Beatles have accomplished. And so I look forward to that. And the Open Championship, truly one of the great events. And, you know, and Royal Birkdale is one of the finer courses that are in the rotation. Next year I'm going to twist Frank's arm because they're playing at Carnoustie. And you got to go to Carnoustie one time in your life if you're involved in golf. It's truly a very special place.
Yeah, I'd love to come. I cannot wait to get over there. Carnoustie is that's a bucket list for me to do that one.
Frank, I thought Bob was going a different route when he said he knows that Frank would love to come because it's a stone throw from the home of the Beatles. I thought it was because it was a stone throw from the Glenfiddich Distillery.
Well, that works too.
Actually, it's Glenn Levitt. Never see you again.
Actually, it's Glenn Levitt. It's Glenn Levitt, sorry. Not Glenfiddich that I like.
So. Well, that's got to be close by too, then, doesn't it?
It's pretty close. Yeah, it's right there.
He'll drop you off and say, Frank, I'll come back and get you. No, I'm good.
I'm good now. I'll watch the tournament on my iPad.
Yeah, you go watch it all. I'll do some tastings here for the next week or so.
Month.
So,
you bet.
Yeah. Well, Bob, that's going to be it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm sure that we'll be talking to you from there, although we have a time difference. So, Frank, we're going to have to executive produce the heck out of this to see if we can get Bob in the right time frame that we can have him on. Although he's ahead.
No, he's ahead, so it'll be perfect.
So it'll be like noon or 1 or 2 in the afternoon, I guess. So we could do it that way.
Yeah, so
work for him.
So, Bob, what's up this week for the Grill Room?
Well, we're going to be obviously talking about the victory of Kyle Stanley. Certainly an exciting one. Going to highlight Kenny Perry's second United States Senior Open Championship. We're going to preview the upcoming Open Championship. And by the way, the response on the contest that we had to pick the winner of the United States Open and win yourself a vertical groove driver was so successful that we, working with the people at Vertical Groove, we're going to put up another driver. We'll be taking entries. We'll announce what you have to do to win yourself one of these drivers by picking the winner of the upcoming Open Championship.
Well, that'll be great.
Nice.
I love my vertical groove driver, Vert Golf, VERTGolf.com. Bob comes to us courtesy of Vertical Groove Driver, VertGolf.com. And I love mine. I love it. I want to get out and play, but it's storming over here every afternoon this week. So I need to come to the Hamptons.
There you come. Come on out.
I'm ready. I'm
so ready.
Bring
money. Bring
gold
money.
Bars.
Yeah, hey, Tim, can I borrow a couple of hundred grand until my jumbo CD rolls over?
just for my room. I need to go get my bank account in order just so I can afford the rooms there. So, well, Bob, we do appreciate it. Have a great time while you're there and a great time heading over in a few weeks to the Open Championship, and we'll certainly be talking to you when you get over there as well. Thanks so much to Vert Groove for letting you come on the show with us.
And thanks for having me. Always a pleasure, Tim, Frank. You guys stay well, and listeners of Golf Talk America, may the next round you play be the best one that you've ever had.
All right.
That's great.
Bob Bupka, host of The Grill Room on TuneIn Radio. Thanks, Bob. We do appreciate it. Oh, my God.
Well, there you go.
I haven't played my driver yet, Frank.
Oh, you haven't hit your driver yet?
No.
I only got here
a week ago, but I just haven't been in a week. So
that driver,
today it came, but it came later in the day.
That driver won me a tournament.
Nice.
My team, whatever. And it did. I love that driver.
You and Kenny Perry. You and
Kenny Perry and John Daly. I reached out to Kenny. I'm going to see where he's going to be. I'm going to reach out to him this week. And if he's going to be in Franklin, I want to run up there and see him, maybe have lunch or something. And see what the setup is on his vertgolf.com vertical groove driver. So
he's got to be loving it now.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it,
no
the
kidding.
The beauty of his win, this is if any of us ever had a chance to win, this is what you want. He had, two putts to win from about 6 feet?
Yeah.
He ended up draining the putt.
Yeah.
But isn't that what we all want? Just to be able to lag that.
I do not want a 30-footer to win.
No. I don't even want a 30-footer in two. Because I could leave it 6 feet short, 12 feet by. I don't want 30 feet from it. I'm just saying, if it's that, and you can see Kenny Perry just tapped it. It was obviously a fast putt, and it went right in the bottom of the cup. But he was like, if I miss, I'm not going to miss my much.
I want to change gears here for just a second before we get out of here and tell our listeners, if you don't know who Red Skelton is, he was a comedian back in the 50s, 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
Go to YouTube and look up Red Skelton Pledge of Allegiance. I watched that last night again, just because this is the 4th and, you know, very patriotic time for us in America. Everybody, even we have a lot of listeners all over the world, Tim. So all over the world, go to Red Skelton on YouTube, Pledge of Allegiance. He recites the Pledge of Allegiance. Tim, have you heard him do this? Have you seen it?
I don't think I have.
Well, I won't spoil it. Just do it.
Okay.
It's 4 minutes and 37 seconds, basically. Just watch it. It will.
So he's a comedian, but you're obviously saying it's not a comedic.
Well, it starts off that way. You know, he starts off kidding a little bit. But just watch it, and then send me a text after you watch it today. While you're having new tires put on your car,
I'm getting my new tires in my car.
Your new tires,
Red Skelton is one of those guys that used to be on those great roasts that they had. Remember?
The Dean Martin roast. I have the whole collection of my father ordered all those when he was alive. I have the entire Dean Martin collection. It is hilarious.
Those were classic, and so that's how some people might know him if you ever switch. You're on cable TV at midnight and you see those infomercials for those.
That's what it
those,
is.
CDs. He would have been one of the guys on there almost every time he had one with Bob Hope and Dean Martin and Jimmy Stewart and
Red Skelton Pledge of Allegiance. Perfect time to
Okay.
To watch it on our 4th of July. So,
right. Yes. This is a special time, 4th of July. So let's all pull together. Great country. We're also lucky to be here.
Yep.
And as much as we seem to bicker and fight, just like a lot of families do, when time comes, push to shove, we're all in it together. So
yep, that's right.
Let's all remember that here, at least for this week, when 4th of July is upon us, that we can remember that we live in the greatest country in the world. No disparity to any of the people listening to us all over the world. We love each and every one of you. But I do love my country.
Yep.
So
come see us.
Yep. Yeah.
Come see us. Come play our golf courses. We've got some pretty good golf courses over here, too.
You sure do. You sure do.
There you go.
All right. That should do it. We do appreciate everybody listening to us from all over the world. Thanks to T. Johnson with Hank Eden Golf for being with us. Bob Bupka of the Grill Room. And we will be here next time. So for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for listening to Golf Talk America. And don't forget to join us next time.